so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It's a Monday through Friday podcast, so I am hoping that you are taking this show with you everywhere you go, whether you're listening on a podcast through your headphones, in the car, in the shower, or watching the show on YouTube, streaming it to your TV, maybe listening through a tab playing in the background at work. Secretly, quietly, I won't tell anybody. Whatever it is, thank you. Appreciate you making this part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I am the author of a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, where I pick 12 All-Stars, two at each position, two wild cards, a couple of coaches, and I throw in some wish-I-could-have-picked kind of guys. It's available everywhere. You buy books. No longer available here on my temporarily on my website, but I will get a new shipment soon that you can buy for yourself as a gift, whatever. Today on the show, I was going to do more of the player kind of specific stuff, but I will get back to that. It was such a wild Wednesday in the NBA that I had to address some of the ways that that impacts the Boston Celtics, and I did get a couple of listener questions. This is not an official mailbag episode, which I should probably just do for Friday. So if you got questions, hell, let me just say, hit me up on Twitter at LO Celtics on Twitter for the podcast or at Reds_Army_John. Personally, if you got a question, hit me up. I'll do a mailbag episode for Friday. Not a problem. But I did have a couple of questions, and one involved the coaching search. And another involved clarifying the Kemba Walker situation and the cap, which I think it's worthwhile. So just get into, because I've given you guys a lot to digest when it comes to the cap. I've tried to explain this to a number of people, and it's a lot. It's hard to kind of grasp a lot of this stuff. And I throw it all out there, and I think like 10% of it actually sticks, because that's how it was with me at first. Like, people threw a bunch of stuff at me, and then I would say, wait a minute, what about this? And it takes a while. And I'm afraid of the next collective bargaining agreement, because once I feel like I get a good grasp of things, they do another CBA. And I'll tell you what, they need to do another CBA. This one here, they've done all the MacGyvering with everything that they can with this. We've got a new TV deal coming up in a few years. And as I've mentioned on this podcast before and on the Locked On NBA podcast, that's going to be a significant one. And we're now dealing with amounts of money that make no sense. And some of the incentives that are coming up, things that, like the Jason Tatum thing that I talked about yesterday, 25% of the cap versus 30% of the cap. Well, when the salary cap jumps to $150 million, 25% versus 30%, yeah, there's a difference, but 25% of the cap is certainly plenty of money. And some of these things like qualifying offers for restricted free agents, that they're going to be meaningless, like absolutely meaningless. And it's going to change the entire face of the NBA. That's another discussion that I think will be a fun, like, off-season roundtable. But right now, it's very clear to me that they're going to have to figure out a new way to do business in the NBA. In the meantime, we still have to do business in the NBA right now under the current parameters. And this whole show, by the way, brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode. So the NBA just lost its damn mind, starting with that Kevin Durant crazy comeback in Brooklyn. The Wednesday morning was met with Stan Van Gundy news that he's out. Scott Brooks is out in Washington. We had Kawhi Leonard probably gone with an ACL injury for the rest of the postseason, potentially. We had Chris Paul enter COVID protocols. We had Donnie Nelson getting basically on his way out, just torching things in Dallas. We had all sorts of craziness. Really, where this affects Boston is a couple of things that impacts Boston, a couple of ways. Now, one way may not be, I wrote about this on Boston Sports Journal. I could have done this podcast 2 hours ago. I'm recording at 1 a.m. because I had to watch the rest of this Utah Clippers game. I thought the Jazz were going to run away with this. Clippers without Kawhi end up winning in Utah. Huge, huge win. Huge game from Paul George. And one of the ways I thought this was going to impact the Celtics was the Clippers are going to fall apart. No Kawhi. It's all going to go to crap. They're going to lose. And they still might lose this series. They're so up and down. But they're going to lose. They're going to find out that Kawhi has a torn ACL. If that is actually the case, they're going to need to tread water at some point, you know, throughout the regular season. And I thought that increased the chances of Kemba Walker being moved to the Clippers for a deal that I've been kind of talking about, the spare parts kind of deal of Patrick Beverley and Luke Kennard and whoever the third player is that's going to make sense if they can try to pry Terrence Mann, who had a vicious dunk on Rudy Gobert. But if they can pry Terrence Mann away from them in a deal like this, I don't think that's going to be the case, but whatever. So I thought the Kawhi injury that was announced was one of the ways that Wild Wednesday could help the Boston Celtics, or one ways it might impact the Boston Celtics. Really, the biggest way it impacts the Boston Celtics, coaching jobs have opened up, and potentially like decent coaching jobs. The Boston Celtics job, I think, is still number one as it currently stands. But Milwaukee basically crapped their pants in Game 5 against the Brooklyn Nets. If they go out there and panic their way to another loss, now it's not that they lost to the Brooklyn Nets. It's not even that they're going to lose if they do lose to the Brooklyn Nets without Kyrie and with a half a Harden to go along with Kevin Durant. It's not that they actually are losing this. It's that if they lose Game 6 or if they lose Game 7 and they soil themselves again, if that's how this goes, then you have to wonder if Mike Budenholzer's job is safe. And they've had a ton of success, but you have Giannis, and basically you've shown yourself the same pattern over and over and over again. So Budenholzer, certainly his job is in question. And you can debate the merits of that or not, but the pattern is there. The Atlanta pattern, it happened to him in Atlanta. It's happening again in Milwaukee. He can get you this far in the regular season, but the postseason is a different story and it doesn't work for him. So the Celtics job suddenly becomes the number two job in the NBA, because coaching Giannis in his prime, a newly extended Giannis. Now, I know Giannis could probably ask for a trade no matter when, but new coach, give it a couple of years. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo in his prime. Chris Middleton's an all-star. Drew Holiday's borderline all-star, all-defensive player. You've got the tools. You have kind of like a ready-made winner and a two-time MVP. As great as it is to have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to work with, some of these candidates that the Celtics could be looking at, maybe their top choices, could just be like, yeah, hold on, Brad. I just want to see how this Milwaukee situation works out. And let me just see before I make a decision on your offer. I wouldn't blame a candidate. If I'm sitting there looking to say, hey, where's my best chance at winning? Boston is a very, very good chance at winning. Milwaukee would be a better chance at winning with a two-time MVP. New Orleans has Zion, and Washington has, for now, Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. They've shown, they made their big run at the end of the season. They've shown some fight. Now, Washington, I wouldn't say it's a good job, but you've got two good players, one guy that everybody in the league is waiting to see what he's going to do, and an owner, Ted Leonsis, who is generally pretty loyal. You don't think you're going to get Bjorkgrind or Van Gundy'd out of your job after 1 year. You have a chance to go in there and spend 4 or 5 years. Job security is important. So I can see some of the appeal for Washington. And if you go to Washington and you have some success in the first few months, Bradley Beal, notoriously loyal, doesn't necessarily want out or hasn't wanted out. And if he gets a coach that he likes and the situation seems pretty good, then maybe he'll try to see it through. That's a possibility. Zion in New Orleans, future superstar, current superstar, highly coveted in a small market where, you know, the expectations have generally been low. The attention's certainly going to be on you. But whole point of all of this is if the Celtics get cheap with their coaching salary, which I don't know if they will or won't, but money is certainly an issue in Boston right now. And if they do get cheap with the coaching search, then, you know, they run the risk of missing out on a candidate. They run the risk of a candidate saying, you know, this is a good job, but these are also good jobs. Now, Portland's a good job as well. Indiana, so-so. Orlando, if you're into a rebuild, sure, go for it. But I don't see the Celtics as being such a wild kind of front runner where they have such leverage over any of the candidates where they say, hey, take it or leave it. The market has exploded. What are we up to now? Six teams, potentially seven with openings. So it does impact the Celtics very, very much. So something to watch for, especially that Milwaukee job. And you really got to see how the coaching carousel moves and when that first domino falls, because you'd start to think that at some point here, some front runners are going to start emerging. And we're hoping to get some clarity. This could just shake things up a bit. And I would hate to see the Celtics miss out on a candidate because of extenuating circumstances. Like, we'll talk more about that stuff as the search goes on. Up next, a listener question about the coaching search and who has input on the coaching search. Right now, it's time for the Michelob Ultra moment. So it's a relatively new segment here that we're doing here with Michelob Ultra. Of course, Michelob Ultra is at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, a nice, refreshing beer that you can enjoy, and we know it's only worth it if you can enjoy it. Talked a lot about Kemba Walker and his time in Boston, and I'm trying to figure out what my Ultra Kemba Walker moment was over the course of his time. And I gotta go back to Kemba Walker. This is not his best play. This is not his finest moment, but it is an ultra moment that is maybe my favorite Celtics play ever, where Kemba, we're in Houston. And I was in Houston for this. Kemba thinks he gets fouled right about half court, flings a shot, which is just one of the craziest things. Like, he thinks he's going to get an and one by flinging a half court, three quarter court shot that he just flings wildly. No call. It's such a stupid play. But the ball bounces to, I forget who it was. I think it was Jaylen Brown, Daniel Tice or something. And then gets over to Jason Tatum for a dunk. If we're looking for a play that gives you joy and happiness, that is the play. If there's any one play that I want to watch over and over again from Kemba Walker's time in Boston, that play where he flings up a half-court shot that ends up being a dunk for the Boston Celtics. That's it. Michelob Ultra, joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. And I enjoyed the hell out of that. I remember watching it live and going, what the hell happened to this? I logged onto my YouTube TV to watch the replay of that. And it was just hilarious. Coming back with that listener question about the coaching search right after this. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA coverage is NBA playoff coverage brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Might have heard this before, but it's only worth it if you enjoy it at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. And if you missed the Sixers-Hawks game, had very much the vibe of the Nets and Milwaukee Bucks game. In that, for three quarters, one team was dominating, and at the end, the other team was celebrating. And Philly, up 26 at home in the third quarter, ends up losing to the Atlanta Hawks. I turned away from the game. They were up 26. It was through threats. I said, you know what? This is it. Like, the Hawks just don't have enough to come back against this Philly team. I'm going to go take care of some other stuff around the house. And in the midst of that, I heard from the other room, from the TV, I just heard the announcer say, and he has a chance to take the lead. And I was like, did he just say a chance to take the lead? And lo and behold, he did. So they're going to be talking about that on the Locked On Today podcast. So go check out the Locked On Today podcast, which gets you all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes. And grab yourself a Michelob Ultra while you're at it. Adam sent me an email recently who basically asked, I'm curious how significant it is that hiring a new coach now gives Jason and Jalen the opportunity to say who they want to coach the team. Will the Celtics be missing the forest for the trees if Brad gets to make his choice instead of the franchise player's choice? And so I've alluded to this before, but I think it's very, very important in today's NBA especially to have your superstar players give input on something like a coaching search. Maybe not so much a GM search, but a coaching search and, you know, trading for a player or looking to sign a certain player. I have no problem with that. And here's why. There's a lot of people will approach NBA basketball in terms of the basketball that you grew up playing or just the basketball that you've had the most experience with, which is generally high school, college, or some level below the NBA, okay? Which is fine. It's very much a coach is in charge, players play. It's very regimented, and that's the deal. Like, there's just, that's the dynamic, and that's it. The thing about the NBA is that it doesn't operate that way. And the players and the coaches in the front office, I mean, yes, the front office gets to make moves, and they're separated from the players in a very distinct way. But the players have clearly a great amount of power now, and a lot of influence. And that's because of, as I was saying before, the money, the amount of money that's being made right now, more so than the players just demanding things and saying, hey, I'm not going to play, so I demand this and you're going to capitulate to me. It's more of these guys make so much money and ownership has such an investment in these guys that that's what gives them power, that you invest as an owner, you invest a lot of money into a Jason Tatum, a Jaylen Brown. You're paying them $100 million, $160 million, $200 million. Like, that, the numbers that we're talking about are lottery jackpot numbers, right? Like, I play the friggin' Powerball hoping to get the equivalent of Luka Doncic's next contract. And not like he has a winning lottery ticket in his own ability, and he's going to get another winning lottery ticket when that contract is up. That's how much money is at stake here. So these guys have power because they're under contract. They're going to make that money. That is guaranteed money. This ain't the NFL. This is about the money that's on the contract. Now, that's not the exact number. We've gone over this. There are you know, taxes and escrow and all of this other stuff. That's not what they end up getting in their pocket, but that's guaranteed money and all, you know, minus whatever deductions there are. Still, when it comes to the coach, coach makes decisions. The coach comes in with a plan. And yes, the players have to listen to the coach, but the coach also has to listen. I compare it to more kind of the coach is more like middle management. Yeah, that person makes the schedules. Yeah, that person grants you vacation time. And yeah, that person is technically your boss and you got to do what that person says. But there are levels above that person. And if the entirety of the work group is not happy with that person's going to go and it's not, they're not going to get rid of the whole group of people. So there's the coaching in the NBA is a bit tenuous for all but a few select coaches. So you're more coworker than I'm the coach, like college, you know, whatever college coach just yelling at his players. You know, I think of the old Bobby Knight, like just demanding of his players, and the players, yes, coach, yes, coach, yes, coach. Like that's how I played in college. But like, you know, when you go past that level, they, you can't do that necessarily. So Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for sure can sit down and talk to Brad Stevens. And again, like I mentioned in the podcast the other day with Evan Fournier, I mentioned this in my locker room last week. Coaches are going to come in and interview for this job and tell Brad Stevens, hey, basically, here are all the things I thought you did wrong, and I'm going to do this stuff differently. It's an uncomfortable kind of conversation to have, but Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have to sit there, if they haven't already, I'm sure they have, sit there and say like, hey, this is the type of coach that I would like to have. And you gotta be a little tactful and be like, you know, look, we would have loved to have you back, but now that I have my choice, I'm going to pick somebody completely different than you, right? Like if Jaylen Brown is sitting there saying, being honest with Brad Stevens, then I'm sure he's saying like, hey, I would like to have these qualities in a coach. And you say all of the things that you think the other person was missing. And you can deduce from Jaylen Brown's Twitter, where he was talking about how many black coaches are still coaching in the playoffs, that he would probably appreciate a black head coach. Jaylen Brown, very vocal on social issues and trying to uplift the black community, wants probably to give another black head coach an opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised to see him advocating to add one of the assistants that's in the running. That's an important thing to him. That's an important thing to him. I don't know if that's what he's saying for a fact, but there are enough reports out there that saying this is something that's important to these, right? Who relates to players? Who relates to young African-American men, right? Like representation matters. And so from their perspective, I can totally see it. Now, what Brad Stevens is going to do, he's going to interview, what I hope he does is interview everybody and give everybody a fair consideration and then make a decision based on what he thinks is best for the team. And if he thinks that's what's best for the team, then that's what he should do. So these guys should have that kind of input. They're the ones playing for these coaches. I've said this before on the podcast. I'm not the one that's playing for them. You're not the one that's playing for them. These guys are the ones who are playing for this coach. So they have a tremendous say in what they want in a head coach. They're going to be the ones who respond to this person, whomever it may be. So Brad Stevens will make the final choice, but franchise players for sure, and everybody to some degree, should have some say. And Brad can now take that information, process it, and try to find the best fit. One guy or one person that is a great fit for one job might not be the great fit for the other job. So it's going to be an interesting process here that continues. And we've been going at this for what, 2 weeks now? And it might take a little while longer. But for now, I hope the players have their say. Up next, I'm going to clarify some of these technical cap things, which is not a great tease, but there is some confusion over a lot of very intricate things that I have mentioned in the past couple of days. So when it comes to Kemba Walker, how much cap space, what happens when he gets traded, all of that stuff, I'm going to talk about that when I come back. First, Rock Auto. Whatever it is, the increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain store, auto parts store, to have all of the things that you need, right? You have whatever car you have, it's different than mine, it's different than that person. There's tons of makes and models out there. How can they possibly stock enough things to have everything for everybody? That's where Rock Auto comes in, okay? You're going to spend, what, 30%, 50%, 100% more with the same parts? No, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Whatever you need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, windshield wipers, something simple, something complicated. If you know what you look at, what you're looking at when you pop the hood, then great. If you don't, then great. You can get it all at Rock Auto. Not a problem. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box when you do buy something? Because that's how they know we sent you. When you write "Locked On" in there, how did you hear about us box? It's an amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Take that money that you've saved and go to BetOnline and sign up for a free account. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. I'll be honest with you, I would not have won any of my bets on basketball tonight. But if you're better than me, please go for it. NHL, whatever you want. American sports, international sports, soccer, it's all available at BetOnline. So use your laptop, use your mobile device, go sign up for free. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Sign up for free, create your account, whatever you deposit in there, $200, your 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit, $100. That's with the promo code Locked On at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Had another listener email talking about the past couple of shows where I've talked about Kemba Walker. And so there is some confusion, and I feel like I want to clarify this because this is important stuff. And look, the collective bargaining agreement is complicated. It is a complicated hodgepodge of things. Basically, the collective bargaining agreement was a set of rules by which the league could do business, and then teams found loopholes, and then in the next collective bargaining agreement, they closed those loopholes, and then teams found new loopholes, and then in the next one, they closed those, and that happened like 4 or 5 times, and now we have this convoluted, just crazy document that has a bunch of ways to close a bunch of loopholes, and teams are still finding loopholes, but here we are with a document that now the Celtics have to work with. So Claudine has asked a number of questions. And basically, let's start with this. Let's say the Celtics are currently over the cap by $10 million, which it's more than that, but let's just say. Celtics trade Kemba and take back a player with similar salary, then flip that player for a TPE, traded player exception. Doesn't that leave them with $20 million of cap space, right? So no, it doesn't. And here's why. The NBA, they used to have, basically used to be like, you had bird rights. Bird rights are what the Celtics can use to sign Evan Fournier. If a player is with you for three or more years, you have full bird rights. Or if you trade for a guy that's been with his team for three or more years, you acquire his bird rights. You can go over your cap to save to pay that guy. Okay, that was in a collective bargaining agreement a long time ago. And what teams would do is they would keep those players. Those players would, let's use round numbers, $100 million salary cap. What they used to be able to do was, those guys popped off, but they still had their bird rights. And they said, all right, let's hold up on signing you guys. We're going to sign a bunch of free agents. Let's say they created $30 million in cap space. They would sign $30 million worth of players and then re-sign all of their guys, go way above the cap, and it didn't matter, and they would circumvent things that way. So the league said, well, we can't have that. And they created a thing called cap holds. And so when you have an empty roster spot, you have a number of different mechanisms here. There is a cap hold for Evan Fournier, which I don't know what the amount is, but it's basically a big number, and I can look this up real quick. It's a big number that is basically a placeholder for that player, so the team can't go out and do that, right? They create this fake number, and the cap hold for Evan Fournier is $26 million. Basically, I think that's the maximum that they could pay him. Now, that stays on the books until they either re-sign him or he goes away. He leaves and someone else signs him. They have a cap hold for Luke Kornet, $2.9 million. That's what they can pay him. They have a cap hold for Semi Ojeleye, who's a free agent, and what they can pay him. They also have these exceptions, right? So cap hold is a fake number, and that counts against the cap for during the offseason. So the NBA, for all intents and purposes, says, this is what you can sign Evan Fournier. So we're going to put this fake number in there and count that against your cap so you don't go spending that money somewhere else and circumvent things like you used to be able to do. At the same time, if the Celtics, let's say they let him go, or they trade him for a traded player exception, or they trade Kemba Walker for a traded player exception, right? You trade him away, and functionally, you trade him away for nothing, and salary-wise, you get below the tax, right? But cap-wise, what the league does is they count all of your exceptions against your salary cap. So if you have that exception, that means that you can still acquire a guy for that amount of money. So let's pretend that the Celtics trade away Kemba Walker for nothing and get a sign and trade for Evan Fournier for, let's say, $20 million. So Kemba Walker makes $36 million. Evan Fournier goes away and they get a traded player exception for him for $20 million. So it's $56 million. Now, the Celtics do not fall $56 million. That does not come off of their salary cap. Their payroll number is 132. You don't take $50 million off of that and say, hey, now we can sign free agents, because that exception is a placeholder. You can't go out and sign your free agents and then trade for a guy making that $36 million. You're circumventing the cap again. So all of these little exceptions that the Celtics have count against their cap space. It doesn't count for actual money. It doesn't ultimately count for salary, luxury tax purposes. Luxury tax is actual money that you've spent. I hope you're still following me. So all of these little mechanisms are basically meant to prevent teams from fake getting under the cap and signing a bunch of players and then bringing all those players back and creating the super team. Okay. That's the whole point of this. how does a team actually get under the cap? Your players have to leave. So once Evan Fournier gets signed by somebody else and just leaves outright, or yeah, if he just leaves outright, then that cap hold is gone. You can renounce the rights to a player. The Celtics can go and renounce the rights to Semi Ojeleye and renounce the rights to Luke Kornet. And once you renounce that, then that player just becomes a normal free agent, and that right to that bird right or whatever other little thing you have to sign this guy, that goes away, right? You can renounce. I think you can renounce a traded player exception. I've never heard of anybody doing that. But once that expires, they can go. You don't get a traded player exception. You don't create one just to renounce it, right? But once that exception expires, it expires after 1 year, then that's off the cap, right? But to create actual space, you have to trade the players away and get the players come back, make less money, or you renounce the rights to your free agents and those cap holds go away. It gets really, really complicated, but that's how you create actual cap space. You have free agents and they just go somewhere else. And then you have to sign your own free agents. And one last little thing. I'm just going to say this is one last little thing. Let's pretend, I can't believe I'm going this deep into it, but let's pretend the Celtics have 10 roster spots and they have to fill five more. You have to field a regulation team of, I think it's 13. They put a hold in there for the empty roster spot of paying someone at least a minimum salary. So there's still like little mechanisms in there. You have to have a regulation roster. And if you don't, there's still a hold in there for those spots. Like you're going to have to pay someone at least the minimum. So they put those in there. All these little things. This is a result of teams basically saying, we figured out a way to circumvent your rules. And the league going, okay, now here's another rule. Now here's another rule. Here's another rule. So I think that has answered Claudine's question. I'm sure I will get an email if I have not. But I welcome the emails. You can email me through my website, johncorrales.com. There's a contact me thing in there that you can send me an email. I will try to answer either via that or I'll bring it onto the podcast if I think it's worth talking about on the podcast. I hope that that made sense. And I hope that explains why trading Kemba Walker away for a traded player exception doesn't actually create cap space. The way they create cap space is you trade Kemba for, you know, his $36 million for guys making $26 million, and you've now shaved $10 million off that amount, whatever the number actually is, because there are salary cap matching rules. That's how you do it. Or you let Evan Fournier walk for nothing, and that cap hold comes off, and that's it. He just goes away, and now you've saved some money from your payroll. Like that. I hope that explains why those things exist. The fake numbers that I talked about, the fake numbers, this is the important thing here. If you take nothing else away, the fake numbers only are there to prevent you from going under the cap and gaming the system to sign more people. The tax is real money. So you can have a TPE and not use it, and you're not paying a tax based on the value of the TPE. But the TPE does hold a space. So if you dip $30 million, $36 million under the cap, but you have a $36 million TPE, then you're not under the cap. So, but if you're at the zero tax line and the next cent you spend is taxed and you have a $36 million TPE, you're not taxed on that money. You're on that TPE. You're only taxed on the real money that you spend. It's complicated. It's no wonder. Remember, Red Auerbach used to run the team, coach the team, and have one assistant coach. That's how the NBA started. Now, there's three rows of coaches on the benches, and the front office staff has to be two dozen people and financial experts that I can't even touch. Like what I have grasped is only like the most basic of NBA math. These guys are like geniuses at gaming systems and figuring things out. And I need, after they make moves, I need to get like a tutorial on like, oh, that's how you did it. And I know a lot about this stuff. These guys make me look like a moron, which I know doesn't take much. So I hope that's explained enough. It's a complicated business. It is a complicated business. It's not as simple as you think. Podcasting is fairly simple. I just look at a camera and talk into a mic and tell you things that I know and hopefully answer your questions. So please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or on YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are closing in. I think we're about 100 or so away from 1,000 subscribers, which is a huge, huge milestone on YouTube. Big milestone. I'd love to get to that 1,000 subscribers before the month is out. So please subscribe to the YouTube page. That'd be fantastic. Do that and rate, review, stars, 5 stars, whatever you do, wherever you can boost the podcast. It'd be amazing, because that'd be awesome. But of course, share it. Tell your friends that they should be listening and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.